Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here today with my favorite co-host,
Carol Peterson, only
and hey,
co-host.
oh, favorite and only, but you're still my favorite.
I used to say that to my daughter. You're my favorite daughter.
So, and we're going to continue our Back to Basics series. Actually, I said, Carol, we're done with the best Back to Basics series. And she said, we are not. We need to talk about the most important electrolyte in the body, the one that the body takes the most volume of and needs it daily, which controls a multitude of all our functions. So, Carol, which one is that?
Potassium.
Whoa.
Which I think has been really often overlooked. We said that we have four major electrolytes: sodium, potassium, magnesium. Which one am I missing?
Sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium.
Calcium. Thank you for putting that
in.
And potassium is really, really important. We have this thing called the sodium potassium pump, and it was invented by some scientists as a hypothesis.
No, it was discovered.
No, actually,
the body invented it.
No, it was disproven. This pump thing was disproven by Dr. Gilbert Ling with some very elegant tests, and what. The bottom line, it's an explanation for why in the world is potassium so concentrated inside the cell and sodium is concentrated outside the cell. It has a lot to do about how our body works electrically. One day I really want to learn a lot more about the biophysics, the energy of our body. And this is one of the realities. We need potassium to be there and be in high amounts inside the cell. One of the things you just mentioned, which I thought was interesting, is you mentioned that we need potassium every day. And that is true. We don't really store it up. So it's really important that we replenish that potassium daily. And forgetting to do that or having some of the things that cause our potassium to drop will cause potassium deficiencies, and we have to be on our toes to make sure we're in good shape.
And that's what we're going to be discussing today. How do we identify potassium deficiencies? What would we see in our bodies and our reactions with potassium deficiencies? And how to get adequate potassium through our life and lifestyle? I mean, when nature created and balanced all this, they didn't expect us to be taking potassium pills. But what we're looking at is potassium. Now, listen to this. We need approximately 4,700 milligrams to 6,000 milligrams a day, depending on our energy output. Now, sodium, we need 1,500 to 2,300. Calcium, we need 1,000. And magnesium, the book says, but I feel more, we need 420. Listen, look at the difference between magnesium and calcium in terms of our body needs. And it's an electrically charged mineral. That's why it's called an electrolyte. And it creates a balance and an energy balance internally in all our cells. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But there's two things. Before we go to that, Carol, I want to say we would love you to enter in the conversation. So you can do that by calling 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And we're right by the phones. We'll pick it up, and we would love to hear from you. Sometimes you have to hold on a little longer because we're speaking with someone else, but we would love to speak with you and share some of your questions and your thoughts and your observations with the audience, and we'll be glad to respond as best we can. So the number to call, 212-209-2877. So Carol, tell us about potassium. Why do we need it? Why do we need it in such large quantities?
Okay, so let's talk for a minute on what a potassium deficiency looks like. And I found a really elegant piece written by a naturopath, and I want everybody to know. I put this on our Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. So you can look at this yourself if we bounce around a little.
And even download it.
And you can download it there. And I found it really, really interesting, except now I'm thinking, I have some of these symptoms. You know, when we do these deep dives into things, suddenly I may have a little touch of hypochondriasis, whatever you call it, that these things are actually pertaining to me. But listen to this, bone and muscle aches and pains. You know, we talk about calcium all the time for bones.
And especially in the lower back. How many of us wake up in the morning with that lower back stiffness?
Okay, and how
that
about this?
That can be potassium. Go on.
Yeah, the body feels heavy, tired, and it's an effort to move. Now, this doesn't happen to me all the time, but I have 3 floors to go up to my condo and no elevator. And I felt like that some of the time. Like it's like an effort to move my body up those stairs. So I'm wondering if it was just at that time some deficiency in potassium. Here's another, shooting pains when straightening up after leaning over, but it doesn't say where.
Well, but what about you get them in your back, sometimes in your legs. It's like, oh, it's like a stitch. It's like a pain. And many of us, I think all of us have experienced that at one time or another. Go on.
Okay, dizziness upon straightening up after leaning over. So a quick change in blood pressure if you don't have enough potassium. Potassium can really help high blood pressure, but this is a sign of maybe the blood pressure is too low and you don't adjust very quickly. Morning dull headaches on arising and when stressed.
Not unusual.
Yeah, and who asks those questions? Who has these questions when you go to your doctor? Dull, faded-looking hair that lacks sheen and luster. This is the one that got me. I know hormones have a great deal to do with the luster of your hair, but I've never been thinking about potassium.
And electrolytes and how they work to create that sheen and luster.
Yeah,
in your look, in your skin, in your hair.
Yeah, so it's tied up with itchy scalp, dandruff, premature hair thinning, and this is a big battle, and it's a big red flag post-COVID or post-vaccine. We're seeing hair thinning all over the place. I myself am struggling, and I've talked to the hairdressers. They said it's rampant right now, this hair thinning. It's so... I wonder if we have depleted our potassium.
Well, exactly, because when you're fighting a virus, when you're under adrenal stress, when you're under any kind of stress, physical or emotional, but when you're fighting a virus, your body just consumes and uses up potassium. And like I said, it's not a mineral that we store. 30% of our body energy is created by the potassium, the sodium potassium pump, and that's 30% of our body energy. But 60% of our brain energy is created by the sodium potassium pump. So there's a couple things that are happening as people are coming into me. I'm seeing it all the time, and it is so significant. And what I'm seeing is people complaining of hair loss, as we mentioned, but also with headaches, which can be a sign of potassium, but also with this incredible unrelenting fatigue while people can't sleep. There's an insomnia.
Yeah.
And the ability to sleep sometimes is based on potassium. I'm also seeing palpitations.
It has a lot to do with heart rhythm.
Exactly.
Because of the electrical nature of our heart system. Absolutely. And atrial fib is, if that's going on, you have to look at potassium.
So here we're talking about how many of us think about potassium? Not many of us. We don't think about potassium on a daily basis. But yet, it's essential for our ability to think. It's essential for our energy. When we have low endurance, if we're taking a long walk and the end of the walk, we're going, oh my goodness, be nice to have this one over. We might be looking at a lower potassium than our body is demanding for that specific activity. And like I said, potassium is a day-to-day nutrient. Go on, Carol.
Here's a whole bunch of things about your eyes.
Yes.
The eyes can itch, be uncomfortable, bloodshot, watery. We think we have dry eyes, but it might be just low potassium. Eyelids can granulate with white matter. We think infection. Maybe it's low potassium. Eyes tire easily and will not focus as they should. So that can be an issue. And I wonder that all the hours that we are spending on our computers trying to communicate with everybody is leading to simply using up our potassium stores with what little there is, and we're not getting the right nutrients to replenish.
Yes.
We'll get into that.
Yes. And so there is also others. Loss of mental alertness and a sense of confusion, making our decisions difficult. Memory fails. Grabbing for words. Looking for, I had that word. What was it?
I know, just like I couldn't remember calcium just now.
Oops.
This is scary.
Don't eat the salad, Carol. We're going to finish the show. How about some broccoli, and how about some Brussels sprouts? Very high in potassium, but we're going to go through that shortly. So memory fails, making you forget familiar names and places you should easily remember. And you become easily irritable and impatient. And part of that is that you don't have enough energy. When you don't have enough energy and there's lots of interaction, you feel the stress in you. You feel agitated, and you can strike out. But you know what? Let's go to totally different area. And this we don't think about at all. I didn't understand it to this degree. Stomach acid. The ability to create our stomach acid is based on potassium, on the potassium-sodium pump. And without adequate potassium, that pump doesn't work, and we do not create or cannot create adequate stomach acid. Therefore, you've got a total spiral circle, spiral down or circle, in that you don't have enough stomach acid, you can't digest your foods. The ability to absorb electrolytes is based on stomach acid. It makes them soluble so our body can absorb them. And the electrolytes are necessary, particularly one, potassium, to make more stomach acid. So you got a circle going that can be a spiral down if not adequately supported with appropriate foods. Carol?
Well, there's a number of diseases that low potassium is associated with. Arthritis, kidney stones.
Uh-huh.
Atrial fib, as we mentioned, adrenal insufficiency. I want to go back to hormones in a minute. Celiac disease, high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, ulcerative colitis and actually any kind of nausea with vomiting and diarrhea of any duration, you are really losing your potassium like crazy. Hypothyroidism, irritable bowel, same thing. Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis.
Wow.
Crohn's again, you're just getting depleted. Lupus, atherosclerosis, diabetes, and stroke.
I want to talk about high blood pressure.
Okay.
Because many times when you go into a doctor's office, your blood pressure is elevated. And what do they say? Bring down your salt. They also say, let's give you this diuretic. The diuretic pushes potassium out of the body. And what you have done is lowered your salt, and you have exponentially lowered your potassium. Whereas in many cases, if you go in with an elevated blood pressure or slightly elevated blood pressure, what do? You take potassium, and that can naturally lower your blood pressure. So you've got this circle. Many times I see people walking. Yeah, the whole thing is a circle.
There's circles on this show.
Pardon?
I said you're enamored of circles on this show.
I am totally enamored of circles. And what happens is that I see people walk in my door with swollen feet. And they say, well, but I've cut out my sodium. I don't understand. And I say, well, you don't worry so much about the sodium. Let's take some potassium and see what happens. Now, potassium pills are 90 to 100 milligrams. You need 4,700 milligrams a day. So what we have to do is talk about potassium foods and potassium-rich foods, as well as some potassium supplements. And they come in the next time, and their swelling is gone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of quite miraculous when we see it. And when we see it happening, because it was so simple. And what we're looking at is potassium and our body's need for potassium. Go on, Carol.
Oh, so we could talk about some of the foods, which I think was quite fascinating. I found things, some of the highest levels are things we would consider more like in the spice family, like parsley, chevrel, which I've never used in my life, so I don't know how
it's
to use
spicy.
That.
Chevrel has like a spice. It's wonderful in salad.
Yeah. How about coriander seeds?
Oh.
Now, isn't that what you get in the Indian restaurant when you're leaving?
Yes.
They have a little bowl of the candy.
Yeah, they dip them
coated
in sugar. Coated. So here you've got potassium. Oh, this is one thing we didn't talk about. Potassium allows insulin to function on the cells. So if you're insulin resistant, there's a very, very high, if not absolute correlation with lowered potassium. And when you raise your potassium, your insulin is able to work more effectively. Literally, in some cases, not 100%, you can raise your potassium and lower your insulin and your blood sugar is better controlled. It's quite dramatic. So here they have those coriander seeds.
I want to go back to the...
Yeah. but they're using them. I mean, hello. But high sugar depletes potassium. It makes your body excrete potassium. But
another circle.
Another circle here. We've got them. We've just been going along. Go on, Carol.
Okay, well, I want to say this before we get too far away. Coriander seeds were a love potion in the Middle Ages.
What was
it? The coriander seeds, eating the seeds, was a love potion.
Oh, well, we're coming in right next to Valentine's Day, so let's discuss it.
Isn't that cool? And coriander seeds will fix just about anything, according to some of the websites. But to use them, You can take a tablespoon of coriander seeds and soak it overnight in water, and then drink the water and chew the seeds. Or you can also make teas out of it. So you boil the seeds and drink the tea. And it's all those diseases that I was mentioning. People having this regular infusion of coriander seeds may get some relief from some of the things, some of the symptoms we've been talking about.
Potassium is dramatic when you're dealing with rheumatoid arthritis.
Really?
Yes, it can be dramatic when you increase the potassium. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they used to do potassium soup. And what was it? It was vegetables, cabbage, and different vegetables, and potato skins. And they would boil it till it was almost mush, and then people would drink it. And they would get relief from inflammatory diseases. They would get relief from rheumatoid arthritis. They would get relief from gout. Gout is an acidic disease. Potassium and potassium foods are alkaline. So there's other ways to get your potassium up. And one of them...
Before you go too far.
Greens. Go on.
Well, that potassium broth, it's you can find that on the internet as potassium broth. And there's a lot of recipes. And I also put that on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Thanks, Cheryl. Potassium broth, and just as you said, it's a mixture of vegetables, and if you go look at various recipes, you'll see some variations of celery, onions, beets, and potatoes seem to always be there, especially the peel.
Yeah, the peel is very high in the potassium. The number to call to join in our conversation, which we would love you to, is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877, and we're here. There's some other parts that I didn't really, just like I said, oh my goodness, we're done with back to basics, and Carol mentioned, no, we got to talk about potassium. But I also didn't think that there would be a whole hour of discussion on potassium. But guess what? I was wrong. So let's talk about how very wrong. And especially if we get the audience to come on in, 212-209-2877. But greens are powerful high, can give you a powerful high amount of potassium, particularly beet greens are very high in potassium. Now, when we think of potassium, what do we think of? Bananas? Well, bananas. they have approximately approximately 156 milligrams of potassium, but they're also very high in sugar. So to get 4,000, you're going to need about 15 bananas a day. So you're not really going to want to do that. But avocados have about 700 milligrams of potassium.
I can do better than that.
You could do better. Okay, is this a competition? Well, you go for it.
Carrots, 2,500 per 100 grams.
You know what? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. On all the lists I have in front of me, I did not know that carrots were so high.
So it's right up there with potatoes, 1,800 per 100 gram, compared to, I forget what you said, the number I found was 350 milligrams per 100 grams. So you're much better off chewing on a few carrots or having a
greens,
nice baked potato and greens.
Salads.
Than relying on the banana. That's an urban legend, I think. I don't know who got that started. Maybe Dole or somebody who was wanting to sell bananas. I don't know.
Well, they did and have some, but not as much as other foods. As we learned more about different foods, we were very They're much better sources. But why are we deficient? Why are we deficient in potassium? It's also, you find potassium in nuts. You find potassium in salmon and different fish. You find lots of potassium in clams and mussels and different seafoods. And so potassium is quite readily available. But the biggie are salads and lettuce and greens, all we can eat, and chop an avocado over the top. Those are very important. But why are we deficient? The number one reason is our diet. We're not eating enough greens, and we need to. We need to eat greens. And I want to read something to you that I saw written by Michael Pollan. Michael Pollan. He wrote, "The decline of everyday home cooking doesn't only damage the health of our bodies and our land, but also it damages our families. It damages our community and our sense of how eating connects us to the world and our culture. Cooking can be fun, freeing, and essential to achieving health and happiness." Well, my goodness, how many of us really don't pay attention to cooking, to our health, and to taking that time within our families. I remember my family. 6 o'clock, I don't care what was happening, what homework we had to do, what game we were playing, where we were home at the table at 6 o'clock, because that was dinner time, and the whole family sat down together and ate. Sometimes that's hard to do, but that family time is so essential. But number one deficiency is because our diets, we don't have enough greens. We don't have enough whole foods. Now we discuss some of the dietary sources of potassium. So we have enough, more than enough, choices to make, to get adequate potassium. Another is vomiting, another is diarrhea, but those are acute. Diuretics.
Yep, that's a biggie.
So
people are expected
to take.
For a lifetime, you're told that your blood pressure is high. This is the first level of your blood pressure control.
Which
you can
for
a lifetime, which is not true.
And it can aggravate the elevated blood pressure. Diuretics can aggravate that by reducing our electrolytes and reducing our potassium. Another one is stress. Physical and psychological, both of those. Our body doesn't really know or understand the difference between physical and psychological. It utilizes energy similarly. And so what we've got is we've got stress, which literally drains our potassium. But what adds to that stress? Eating tons of sugar, lots and lots of sugar, which our diets are feeding us with refined carbs and refined foods. But you know what else, Carol? There's another source of low potassium. And we see it all the time. And that's a keto diet. See, because they're eating fats and proteins, but they're not eating enough vegetables. They're not eating enough greens. You know, there's thing where people are eating celery juice and they feel better and their mind is better and their energy is better. How could you feel so much better on celery juice?
Potassium.
It's the potassium. And people feel better and their blood sugar is more balanced. Everything is better. Go on, Carol.
Wow, I have another one.
Yes.
Apple cider vinegar.
It's high in potassium?
It's high in potassium. And this pioneer nutritionist, Bernard Jensen, writes about his own therapy And he had grown up on a farm, and he was eating well, and he was very healthy. And he saved somebody's life, and that person sent him to a military school. He got the tuition paid at the school. And then he said, after months of being in the school with the poor food that they were being fed there, his formerly healthy self just disintegrated, and he even became diagnosed with TB.
Wow.
And he realized, even at a young age, that the quality of the food that he had been eating when he lived on the farm had made such a difference in his life. And he said, I credit apple cider vinegar, which I therefore took every single day, took some, and eventually he rebuilt his body. He naturally became TB free because of his nutrition. And it's quite the story. And I'm sort of enamored of apple cider vinegar myself. I go buy these apple cider vinegar gummies. Have you tried them?
I have. I have.
I
But I
love
always, yeah,
it.
I know they're easy to eat.
I know.
But
I know.
I always
Yeah.
wonder about them. I like the ones
Sugar.
that you make, but I don't know about the ones I
Yeah.
buy in terms of the
Yeah.
quality and whatever. I always wonder. Now, I could be wrong, but I wonder.
I've made my own gummies and
Yeah.
just eat them a little more freer. But I find that if I make my gummies, you can't just make an apple cider vinegar gummy. You've got to dilute it with some sort of juice, and it has to be like a strong juice, like grape juice, or you know what's not too bad
Pomegranate.
is elderberry and
Pomegranate.
some of those. Yeah, but I've used pomegranate, so use some of that with apple cider vinegar, and you don't really need any sugar, extra sugar, with all the gelatin you're putting into that. So it's I like making those, and I like the apple cider vinegar effect. But
Now
given
that's
all these deficiencies, probably I need it.
could be. Now there's something else that
What?
people will be a little bit surprised about: excess water. People are drinking lots and lots of water while they're exercising, and more water, and they're told to drink more and more water. Excess water can deplete potassium and get the body to excrete potassium through the kidneys at a higher rate than normally the body would want to. So it's a very interesting thing, that excess water and excess sweating can also deplete the body of potassium. But
And
there's something,
people
go
on
on.
dialysis, kidney dialysis is another. They're well aware of the potassium deficiency created by that. There's
But at the
another.
same time, since their body doesn't deplete potassium, you have to be really careful when you're on dialysis,
Right,
because you
right,
can't have high. High
right.
potassium is dangerous, in abnormally high. You're not going to get high potassium through eating too many salads or Brussels sprouts or avocados. Your body will release it. But when we're talking about pills and creating this artificial balance with a kidney that is not able to excrete it, we're in another level. So it's a whole other level that people need to understand when they're dealing with dialysis and when they're dealing with kidney disease. But there's another time we find potassium deficiencies, and that's in diabetes, as we said before, because the sugar and the elevated sugar creates potassium excretion, and when the potassium is excreted, it makes the insulin less sensitive, so you need more insulin, and you're in this balance of sugar and insulin and low potassium, and it can create a problem. But there's
So,
also, go on.
Corinne, let's stop for a minute, and could you give out the phone number again? And
212 209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. If you swell in the summer, if your hands are swelling, your feet are swelling, if you have rheumatoid arthritis, if you get gout, we might be looking at potassium deficiencies. Now, potassium is intracellular. So when we're looking at a blood test, sometimes we're not seeing the depth of the deficiency that we're dealing with. But when we're at a low normal level of potassium, I always recommend increasing potassium through foods, because when we're at low normal, then we feel an adrenal weakness, a weakness. We need midline to high normal level of potassium on a blood test. Go on, Carol.
I was just going to ask that. So you would just do a routine blood test for potassium. Is anybody doing like an intracellular test like we've talked about for some of the other minerals?
I don't really know that.
I don't either.
I haven't really worked with intracellular at all in relationship to potassium.
It would make sense. And then on the blood test results, it's really a very tight range. It's your blood keeps your potassium pretty well regulated, so it doesn't have wide swings that are acceptable. It's really, really tight. I think that's interesting. And I like that you say what levels you look for. If you are at the low normal in your serum, you've already compromised your intracellular, because this is extracellular to inside your cells. So it's a concern. And I hope people get a chance to look at their blood tests and look actually where in the range they are, because that makes a difference.
We also have to understand that potassium is a baseline generator of nerve impulses. So we're looking, as we discussed in the beginning, we're thinking about memory, a good brain focus, and we might be really looking at these people that we see who complain of brain fog. I'm seeing more and more after COVID. Uh-huh. I used to see a tremendous number of people who complain of brain fog when we were right in the middle of the chronic fatigue epidemic. Well, I'm seeing again, for a while it had been almost like people didn't say those words. And now, at this time, it's really common to hear, well, I have this brain fog. It's almost like I'm walking through a cloud sometimes. It's difficult to think. It's difficult to focus. But where is that coming from? It's coming from a very large, life-threatening stress. Or at least your body felt it was life-threatening. So it took out all the stops to be able to defend yourself. And when that happens, what are we dealing with? We could really be dealing with a low potassium level. So building up our potassium. Now, what we're talking about, adequate potassium, when we're looking at greens to get adequate in the body on a daily basis, we're looking at a nice size salad twice a day, or a nice size cooked vegetable twice a day. We mm-hmm. don't want to cook or boil our vegetables and throw away the water, because then we lose the potassium. But what we do want is to maybe steam them and or saute them. And then you get your potassium that stays within the vegetable when you eat it. So we're looking at a minimum of twice a day. So lunch, a big salad with avocado over the top, some nuts, some seeds, or a piece of salmon, or well, that gives us lots of opportunity right there. There's not a lot of potential.
Let me just say another bunch of things that are high in potassium that we don't really think about all the time, and you could be throwing in that salad. Radish.
Oh, yes.
Sun-dried tomatoes. It's a whopping 3,600 per 100 grams. Dill.
Wow.
Green peppers. Chives. Basil. Carrots, as I mentioned before. Paprika. Fennel. Apricot. All these are extremely high in potassium. So when you put all that variety in your salad, you can have a whopping good dose of potassium if some of those symptoms are applying to you and you'd like to get a little bit of a boost. It's making me hungry just thinking about it.
Me too. A little and some delicious olive oil, very rich. A cold press extra virgin organic olive oil over the top with a little lemon. You got
it. And you notice there wasn't a banana to be had there. So,
and yeah, so, we got all the potassium we needed.
I wanted to jump over to hormones.
Oh, please.
Because doing this, you know, you and I have studied nutrition, and we probably forgot more than what we use, but it's really helpful to go back and start looking at the literature and seeing what's out there. So I was just gobsmacked. I came across an article. It was published in the Orthomolecular Medicine magazine, and it was written about treating PMS with potassium. And in this article, and I think I can post this to our Facebook page too. Don't forget, take charge of your health with Corinne and Carol. This is treating PMS with potassium. And one of the reasons they thought it might work is progesterone has been used to treat PMS. Where the potassium works, it signals the ovaries to pay attention to the luteinizing hormone for the pituitary gland to actually make the progesterone. So this was done in an animal study, but the person writing this article, the woman writing this article, and she has it well referenced, this is personal use of potassium. She had some of her N of one studies, the people that did this with her, there were a couple on progesterone, but some were not. And they were able to relieve symptoms of PMS using potassium. So I am gobsmacked. So after all these years, to run into something like that was really exciting.
That's quite impressive. But it comes back to another circle that our body needs. Our body needs a balance. It needs the balance of the minerals. Sometimes a very good support of hormones can be magnesium, can be potassium, can be vitamin K. Now, we have two callers holding for a little bit,
good. And
I didn't see that. So, hi, you're live on BAI.
Hello, is that me?
It sure is. How are you? Welcome.
Okay, thank you. How are you?
And yes, what's your name?
I'm Tatiana from New Jersey.
Hi, Tatiana.
Hi, Tatiana.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very interesting show. I have a question. You mentioned that there should be a balance between sodium and potassium. So
yes.
If my sodium is low, does it mean that my potassium is too high? And also, let me, like you mentioned, that potassium can be low with hyperthyroiditis, and that's kind of my case. So, but on the other hand, my sodium is very low. So I'm a little bit, if you can elaborate on this, because I'm a vegan. I'm almost like whole food, plant-based, maybe not completely whole food, but plant-based, so I do get a lot of vegetables and all things that you mentioned are good, are high in potassium. So I'm concerned about the balance and what should I do to make sure it's good. Thank you.
Certainly. I've got, there's a few questions. Are you having symptoms? Are you having swelling?
No swelling, no, nothing. And I did blood tests, so if my potassium would be low or high, my doctor would mention. So potassium was never mentioned.
Okay.
But my sodium is kind of really low all the time.
Do you use salt? Do you use sodium?
I use salt, yeah. I use Himalayan salt, and I kind of use it whenever I want.
Okay, so you're not restricting salt.
Yeah, because he even told me I should take it, but I don't want to take, like, spoons of salt.
No. Well, if you're sitting down, when you stand up, do you feel dizzy?
Not really. I do have dizziness at times, but that's from my neck issues.
Uh-huh. So in terms of, I don't think you would be, if you're not taking potassium, I do not believe that you would have too much potassium. Your body will naturally balance it. Mm-hmm. But you might have a little bit low sodium. So yes. Go on.
The sodium is low on blood tests. It's kind of low, even though my thyroid goes better and worse, but the sodium is kind of stays low all the time.
And so you were under the range for sodium on your test, below the range?
Yes, under the normal, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's significant, and you should eat salt. And David Bronstein has a great book on salt, and he will say to have a teaspoon and a half to 2 teaspoons per day of salt.
Really?
That's kind of, and you can do it over your food? Go on.
Yeah. So now, it's quite significant amount of sodium that your body needs. And he will even instruct his patients to measure it out and make sure they use it every day. At the beginning of the day to measure what they need. So I would try that first. From what you said about your diet, it sounds like you're getting lots of vegetables. So if you've listened to some of the things we went through, all the vegetables that have such rich sources.
Yes, I listened. It's very interesting. Yes, I listened.
Of potassium, you may be okay there. So I would concentrate on the sodium part.
But high potassium wouldn't make sodium low.
No, it would not make. But weak adrenals can be a cause of low sodium because your body doesn't hold it. So I would, I don't know what your energy is, but I would attempt to support my adrenals, getting adequate sleep, getting the right amount of fluids. Go on.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yes, I do feel my adrenals are not in a good shape.
Well, that right there can create a low sodium. And it's, again, I love circles. Here I have a circle. And what we have is low sodium can, the body will not support the adrenals with very low sodium. And the adrenals cannot hold. The body cannot hold the sodium if the adrenals are so weak. So we've got a circle here. And what we want to do, you know, when we were treating lots of chronic fatigue people who really couldn't even hold their heads up, what were they giving them? They were giving them adrenal support and a steroid, a low-dose steroid, and they were giving them salt pills. To build up their energy and allow them strength so they didn't get dizzy when they stand up. So, I know that, I was brought up in a very hot California. It was very hot, and the kids would go out and play football, and some of them would pass out. The coaches would give them salt pills. Mm-hmm. So having adequate sodium can be very, very good. So we've got another caller. We got just a minute. So we're going to go right to the other caller. Good luck. Call us back and tell us how you do with that.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad you called. Hello, you're live on BAI. Unfortunately, we have a short amount of time, so we'd love to hear your question. Maybe we can answer it.
Okay, well, I think you have already. Good afternoon. And first of all, thank you both so much. Wonderful show, and you always just give such fantastic and helpful information, so thank you.
And your name?
My name is Joyce.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you so much for listening. Go on.
No, it's a pleasure. It's my pleasure. So it was about salt, what I was calling about. And I think you said 1 to 2 teaspoons or 1 to 1.5 teaspoons per day of salt. Is that what I heard?
Carol?
Yes. And you'll find that in Dr. David Brownstein's book, Salt. Salt Your Way to Health, I think is the whole
thing. It's 1 to 1.5 teaspoons a day?
Mm-hmm. He actually goes 1.5 to 2.
And you don't want sodium chloride. You want a high mineral salt, like the Himalaya, like the salt. They have salt Mediterranean salts that have almost dark specks to them. You don't want pure sodium chloride because that'll create an imbalance. What you really want is... is a balance and in salts, you can get minerals, you can get iron, you can get magnesium. They can be they could be an electrolyte mix if you get the right type of salt.
Okay, because if you look up how much salt one should have, and I love salt, so, they say, it's essentially equal to maybe a quarter of a teaspoon per day for an adult. But I mean, with general, and I cook home all the time, any recipe just always calls for, some amount of salt. So it always seems counterintuitive, but.
Okay.
Yes, even in the book, people who have hypertension have been told to reduce their salt when in fact, according to David Brownstein, many people with high blood pressure really need salt, and they're given the exact wrong advice. And their blood pressure would go down with the use of salt.
It has to be monitored, and it's very individual. Yes. You wouldn't want to you have to monitor that, and it's very individual. So you see what you feel well on. My husband, who is Mr. Speedy, jumps out of bed, totally active. He needs salt. He needs lots of salt. He eats it all the time. Whereas I do not crave as much salt as he does. And it's interesting, different bodies have different needs. So I want to thank you so much for calling. We are at the end of our show. And this has been fun. And Carol, so we're going to ask people who appreciate this show and appreciate WBAI for allowing us to be here. Please call. Please support your station. The number to call is 212-209-2950. And you continue the support of Free Speech Radio. What we're dealing with is a 60-year contract. And that contract has been between the listener and the station. And the listener supports the station, and the station supports the listener by giving information that's not readily available in other venues and not to the depth that you hear on BAI. So please call. Support your station. It's yours. It needs your support. And the number to call, 212-209-2950, or to go to WBAI.org, and you can support there. And don't forget to check Take Charge of Your Health. So, Carol, it's always fun every time we're together.
Yes.
I learn carrots.
Carrots.
I
carrots.
And radishes. Don't forget your radishes. And
radishes.
And we'll be back next week. Thank you, Reggie,
bye,
for helping
thanks.
Us. In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner.